B-Pod Studios.
The Bat. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Bat.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Felger and Maz.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It depends. There's always risk in making deals. And we're not afraid of risk. We made a risk by trading for Kyrie. And no matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on to the next deal.
Again, did you hear that, Danny Ainge, today? The poor bastard.
That really, you know what that sounds like? A guy, after he deals with a bad breakup or he gets left at the altar, it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all.
No, that's exactly what it sounds like, Murray.
He sounds purely defeated.
You all right, man? You want to go get some beers? Yeah, I guess. You know, we had those times. I'll always have those memories.
On the Kyrie thing, he just sounds totally defeated. Totally defeated. And, you know, to the point where the question was related to the risk of trading for Anthony Davis. And I don't know if it was actually the names were put before him because he can't tamper. But it was along the lines of making a trade without assurances and assuming that risk. That was the generic question. And he turned it into the Kyrie thing.
Correct.
We took the risk on him. I'd do it again.
And they wanted that message out there.
And it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Yeah.
Exactly what he's saying.
I mean, they want that message out there because they know that when it happens, they're going to say, well, I told you guys a month ago, I'd do it again. Doesn't change my opinion of it. You know, we had an inkling this was coming. And so, but if you're asking me, would I make the move again? Yeah, I would. So he's telling you right up front so that a month from now, he can just say, I told you this already.
You tell me, what are the tea leaves here? What are the tea leaves when they... When he's asked, the marriage is scheduled for July 1st. That's free agency, right? So July 1st, it's 3 weeks away. 3.5 weeks away from the wedding.
The hall still has the deposit.
Because Ainge said, it's an engagement, not a marriage, but we think we're going to get married. He said in the middle of the year.
Oh, you lose the deposit. That's con, Murray.
So he's asked, is the engagement still on? Is the wedding still set for July 1? He's asked, and here's the answer.
I don't know.
I don't know. Wait a minute. Just stop. I don't know. Do you need to hear anything else?
No.
I don't. If you don't know if you're getting married in 3 weeks, my guess is you're probably not getting married in 3 weeks. Or I'll at least say this. You shouldn't. You probably shouldn't. You should wait. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Billy. Danny, is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I can say about that, honestly. But there's ongoing conversations. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Okay. But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
Okay. So, I mean, just again, the tone is like defeated. To me, in terms of Kyrie coming back, that's the tone. Unless I will say Danny Ainge is playing a poker hand and he's bluffing. And I won't put that past him because he's good. He is, when it comes to this stuff, he is the best. Trader Danny, you can hold those cards close to the vest and bluff you and play you and all those things. So I'll allow for a whatever, 5, 10, 15, 20% chance that he's playing some game for some reason. But if you're just taking it on the face, boy, does he sound defeated, which leads to the time for the DN Van Lines moves around the league. This is the feature, again, by my friends at DN Van Lines, where I mention a high-profile move, trade, demotion, etc. around the league. And it's going to be, I think, Maz, Kyrie Irving, unless Danny Ainge is bluffing us today.
Oh, I don't think he's bluffing. I mean, again, I don't rule it out either. You never know with Ainge. But I just think the whole tone of it, like, why put your fan base on alert? Because that's what he did today, really. Even if he didn't come right out and say it, the whole tone, the uncertainty around Kyrie is... alarming if you are a Celtics follower and assuming you want him back. I understand a lot of fans are turned off by it, and I get it. But the bottom line is the guy's got talent. And so what Ainge is basically coming out and saying, well, we're sort of at his mercy right now. We haven't had any contact with him. Informational blackout. How are you supposed to feel good about that if you're a Celtics fan?
I mean,
the overall vibe was negative,
I'm
saying.
The vibe was overwhelming.
So the vibe is negative, and there are a lot of Celtics fans that are probably happy about that, but Ainge knew what he was doing out there today.
You heard the follow-up. There's a wedding still on. I don't know. Any indication from his camp that he wants out? No, I have not received that indication. Then he's asked, do you hope to get an indication?
He can do what he wants. It's not. It's his choice to do what he wants. But sure, I'd like to have answers to all your questions right now. That would be nice. Then I could, you know, relax even more. But it's a busy time of year, and there's a lot of unanswered questions with free agency and draft and all the players on our roster, all of that.
So again,
he sounds tired. Obviously, he's been through a lot physically, but boy, this poor guy.
You know, has she told you? Has she given you any indication? Well, she can do what she wants. It's her choice. Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, we got it all booked. I would love to have answers to that question, but that would be nice. Then I can relax. Wow, poor guy, poor bastard.
Oh, yeah, Kyrie's holding him hostage. This is what he's doing. But again, I even say that. I'm even reluctant to say that because I think on some level they know he's not coming back. I think they know. Like, I'd be willing to bet that Kyrie is...
You'd like closure. We all want closure. They're not going to get it when they keep trying to call and say, hey, can you maybe give us a little bit of a hint? You know, do you want to be with us? Just keeps going to voicemail.
But they might have that internally, Murray. And it's just he's not going to come out and say, yeah, Kyrie's told us he's not coming back. He's not going to say that publicly, not yet. Because then it just creates this storm around Kyrie.
And maybe they're just holding out hope she changes her mind at the last minute. Right?
Like, sure, of course.
She's told me no, but, you know, you never know with her. She's mercurial.
See, but then again, like, play out the whole wedding angle. Like, let's keep up with that metaphor. So you're standing there and going, okay. And now she says, you know what? Yeah, I'll do it.
This is what I'm saying. If you don't know you're getting married in 3 weeks, then you probably shouldn't get married.
Well, so exactly.
And this has been my point with Kyrie Maz for months, frankly. For months. Why are you chasing around a guy that may not want to be here and, oh, by the way, didn't make you better? Well, what are we doing? I don't get it.
You're still...
Because she's hot.
You're in the fog of the hot sex of the handle and the scoring ability and the fact that you remember that shot from the NBA Finals when he closed it out against Golden State. You're still... Oh, man, that was so good. Yeah, no, she might change her mind, and she can do that for me. I'll wait. I'm going to wait this one out because, boy, it was that hot.
But again, the poor
suckers.
Or you're worried that you can't do better.
Yeah, that's it, too. This poor guy. He's asked Billy the domino thing. Is there a domino that needs to fall first to get an indication from him? Is there a domino that needs to fall?
There's a domino that would fall if it was my world and wanted to do everything that I wanted, but it doesn't work that way. And so we're just prepared for lots of, and right now, I mean, today, this, you know, we're preparing for the draft and we're preparing to make draft picks. And at the same time, this afternoon, we'll probably be looking at possible trades of those draft picks and having conversations with people around the league. So it's all going on right now. There's a lot of discussion. We have a variety of ways we can make our team different. And hopefully better, and we're looking at those options.
Meanwhile, Kyrie's gallivanting around New York and New Jersey today, taking Instagram videos with his former crossing guard, posting them on his Instagram and saying, what, home is where the heart is, or what was it, Murray? It was one along those lines?
Yeah, hold on.
I mean, anyway, look.
Yeah, it was essentially that.
Either these guys are playing a big game on people, and I won't put that past Ainge. He's pretty good. Or it just is what it is, and he's gone. Official, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's gone.
Stroll with me, light family. Home is where the heart lives and stays. And then there's a stupid red pyramid emoji, and I thought it was a clapping emoji. It's actually a hand waving, which to me reads, bye.
Okay. Someone needs to translate some kid. Who's this intern here? How old is he? Who is he? What's his name?
Andrew,
and he's 21.
Okay, Andrew, what's the red triangle emoji?
He's all into, like, the pyramids, and he thinks he's a part of, like, the Illuminati. So I think that, or he acts like he's, like, into that all, like, underground stuff. So the pyramid is just him, like, playing with everyone.
Oh, like, I get it. The all-seeing eye on the dollar bill.
But, Andrew, does it mean something? Like, for example, I've learned that an eggplant means something. And, like, does a red triangle mean one specific thing to you kids?
No, I just think it kind of plays up on Kyrie's whole, like, otherworldly, like, this is me, I'm so, like, intellectual.
Yeah, metaphysical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the pyramid is the symbol of the Illuminati, and a few people have emailed this to me. The numbers, there's numbers on the pyramid.
He's a big numerology guy, right?
Yeah. 369 pyramid with an I, that's the Illuminati symbol. The light people is him talking about the other people in the Illuminati, Jay-Z and Beyonce and the celebrities that say they're in it. So that Illuminati thing is the pyramid. Ah. That's what it is.
Andrew, do you have anything else on this?
No, I mean, he puts it into all of his social media, and like that's his Instagram profile picture, symbol, like the triangle with the numbers. Do I know what it means? No idea. No, it's so weird.
But you're a kid, so you're our closest thing to it. I need my kids to translate all this crap.
Yeah, no, I'm going to stop putting the pyramid on my tweets. The Illuminati.
But either way, again, that the one, and we let off the hour with it. We played it a couple different times. To me, that's sort of the clincher. The question about, are you willing to assume risk in your deals without an assurance that the guy's going to stay? And, you know, that probably a reference to trading for Anthony Davis without the assurance that he'll sign an extension, and the, you know, assuming those risks and doing that sort of thing. And he answers and he takes it right to Kyrie Irving again, Billy. Let's just hear that one more time. You don't have it? You can't do it? Never mind. Yes, on the risk. On the risk. He was doing something else.
It depends. There's always risk in making deals. And we're not afraid of risk. We made a risk by trading for Kyrie. And no matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on to the next deal.
That is so...
He really just sounds so broken.
A broken man. A broken man.
There's totally a message there. Again, no matter what happens with Kyrie, he knows already. He knows. It's a preemptive strike. He's just laying the groundwork there so that when Kyrie leaves, he said, we were ready for this. That's a given.
Okay, so how do you feel about that, Boston? Are they better off without him? Are they better off without all this nonsense? Let me just phrase that a different way, because we've all argued that out like till you're blue in the face. Are they better with Kyrie or without Kyrie? This is a fact. It wasn't proven on the floor. So if you think they're better with Kyrie Irving, that's just in the abstract, and it's a theory. It's a hypothesis. The actual facts on the floor tell you you're not better with them. Okay, but we've argued that all out, haven't we?
Yeah.
Are you just better off without all the nonsense? And I'm not talking purely win loss, how far you go, but are you ready for this whole chapter to be over and to at least turn the page and try and build the team a different way?
Sure.
Yeah. I personally, outside, I don't like seeing Danny Ainge like this. It's sad.
Get a hold of yourself, man.
It's sad. That's like the priest saying to him at the proverbial wedding, well, she's pregnant, huh? Uh-huh. Is it yours? Uh-huh. And you still want to get married? Yeah, it's up to her. Yeah. What? No, run, you fool. What are you doing? Run.
Be a man.
Yeah.
Man up.
Yeah.
She wasn't worth it.
Yeah, she was if she was the only one you're going
to
get.
Okay, so there's your Kyrie Irving reset. Back to your phones on all of it after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, the first thing I would say about the whole Kyrie thing, I mean, I just think it's unfortunate that, you know, one person gets credit or blame for team's failures. I mean, we had a lot of reasons why the team did not succeed this year. And Kyrie deserves his share of the blame, but not any more than anybody else. There's a lot of guys that, didn't handle things the right way and make the sacrifices that needed to be done for the benefit of the team. And so I think that they're all going to learn from it, including Kyrie. He's still a young player, and I think that Kyrie's going to even come back better next year.
You know, it's interesting that Ainge took the time to talk about that. About, you know, not all about him. And, you know, the question was just generically about the series Kyrie had against Milwaukee. And, you know, he made sure to say that and really point out the, you know, the issues with the team. There's a lot of guys that didn't handle things the right way and didn't make the sacrifice that needed to be done for the benefit of the team. It was clearly the issue with the team from day one.
Absolutely. Again, it just, you know, it was a clash of egos. That was a problem from the beginning. They had that problem right out of the gate. And so, it was apparent early on.
So here's the thing I, you know, that I would challenge Ainge on if I were in this sort of mood to say, you know, to challenge it on something. I would say, well, shouldn't you have done a better job of identifying whether that would be the right mix, given all those kids being on that side of their contracts? You know, is that something, did you learn a lesson? You know, and he's talking about the players learning a lesson and the players growing from it. Did he learn a lesson that you have to be more mindful of that mix in terms of where guys are in their careers and what their motivations will be?
What do you think he'd say to that?
I think he'd give you an honest answer.
I don't know. You tell me.
I think he'd say yes.
Because, like, I'm much closer to Bill Belichick than you. You know Danny Ainge much better than me. Do you think he would be self-reflective on that?
Yes.
Because Bill would not.
Yes. I think he absolutely would be. In fact, I think he'd freely admit it. Like, you know, yeah, look, there's probably some things I made mistakes along the way, too, that things I didn't read right. And so I don't think there's any question. Like, and look, I, you know, the whole Kyrie thing and he, you know, everybody gets part of the blame and I don't know if everybody gets part of the blame, then everybody gets part of the credit, too. Maybe that's a way to sort of sell the team going forward. He wasn't entirely responsible for our failure. And he wasn't responsible for our success either.
So we don't I don't have the sound. I didn't pull it. But this is, you know, from the transcript. What did you learn from last year? He says, we all need to learn from this past year. I would say going into the season, we knew with the success from the year before and trying to bring in Kyrie and Gordon back into the mix that there would be some challenges. We all knew that going in, but even but I even underestimated how long it might take because it didn't ever really take where we had 100% buy-in from 100% of our players. I did not anticipate that. I thought through the course of the year, guys would figure out their roles. Also, when you go to training camp, I've been involved in a lot of training camps over my 4 years where, over my 40 years where there's questions to be answered. You go into training camp and it becomes really clear. Players take jobs and win their jobs, and it becomes really easy decisions. Then there's years like this year where it's harder. Everyone played well at times and not well at times. No one really took the jobs other than Kyrie Irving, who was second-team All-NBA, and Al Horford. That's why it was difficult coaching job for Brad, because those jobs weren't clear-cut. Who's going to finish every game? Who's going to start every game? Those were much more difficult decisions. So it feels he's putting that back on the players. He's taking some part of it, but I think putting it back on the players, he's saying no one else emerged.
Well, I think in part of him, again, he sort of, I think that the idea was, yeah, it was going to be a little bumpy at the beginning, but they'll figure it out. And they didn't figure it out. So now, look, was he naive about this whole idea? Probably. I mean, I still, I think a big thing was that run those guys made last year without him. That was huge. Like, all of a sudden, they showed up and said, oh, no, man, we're going to get a year better. We're just starting this thing. We're going to win it now. They thought they had all the answers. It was a bad mix, really, when you look at it.
Continue with your thoughts. Will on Cape Cod on Danny Ainge. Yes, Will.
First, I don't want to say too much about Kyrie other than he's gone. Good riddance. He's a flat earther and is a leader. He was a flat liner. But my main point is that I don't think Danny Ainge is a good evaluator of talent. I mean, look back a couple of years ago, he passed on, well, he took Kelly Olynyk over Giannis. I'll cut him some slack on that because a lot of teams didn't see the potential of Giannis. But when you look at 2016, with the third pick, he takes Jaylen Brown. 2 picks later, Denver takes Jamal Murray. And I believe the Celtics worked Murray out, actually. Last year, Brown averages 13.0 points a game. Jamal Murray averages 18.2 points a game.
Okay, so I got it, Will. So finish your thought.
Okay, and the other thing is that in 2017, they pick Tatum with the third pick, and then Donovan Mitchell is still available. He scored 23.8 points.
Okay, I don't need the stats. Danny Ainge, as an evaluator, I think is good. I don't, you know, he has hits and misses like everybody else. He missed on Giannis like a lot of guys. And would you rather have Jason Tatum or Donovan Mitchell?
I mean, I'd take Tatum. The other thing is
Donovan the same Mitchell. Draft?
I'd take Donovan Mitchell 10 times out of 10 over Tatum.
Yeah, I'm not sure they were. Maybe they were the same draft, actually.
I thought it was different drafts, but
keep going.
But keep going.
I like Tatum. I still think Tatum's got potential. I didn't like the way he went this year. But, you know, Tatum's bigger. Like, to me, there's more potential there with Tatum. But he's the caller's missing the point.
Donovan Mitchell was 13th.
Okay, so that wasn't the question.
The question was Fultz, Ball, or Tatum.
Right.
He nailed it.
I mean, nobody in the league. There were 12 GMs that missed on Mitchell.
So, I mean, I was going to say, talent evaluation, he has hits and misses like everybody else. I think his batting average is very good. His trading record is like 900. He's made one trade, exactly one trade that I thought sucked. And that was the Kendrick Perkins trade. I think he blew that season. And that was a big miss. Other than that, he cleans up on trades. He dominates trades. And his evaluations are very good. Okay, so to me, Ainge has some shortcomings, but it's not those items. It's not those things whatsoever.
No, look, again, I think overall his evaluation of talent is pretty good. I think the only area that Ainge struggles is when stuff like this happens. Like, now you have human emotions involved. Because I think Ainge, honestly, is, like, very analytical and has, you know, he's dispassionate. So, which I think he's proven with some of the guys he's traded. He doesn't get attached to guys. He's dispassionate about it. So he looks at guys like Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and he says, just calm down and you'll figure it out.
Exactly.
Except that some guys don't ever calm down.
Right, and he doesn't care about, you know, character or, you know, shortcomings personality-wise. He'll, again, I've always said he'd trade for Attila the Hun if he thought he could put up a double-double.
I mean, he generally, you know, based on, I'm going by draft now, but he generally drafts guys that compete. Like, they don't often take dogs.
No, it's true.
Right? They draft guys who compete. So they clearly put a premium on that. But I think sometimes, I think he misses the immaturity that exists in some of these guys.
Jake in Boston, give me a thought on the Bruins.
Hey, Felger. I haven't heard any of the Tuca dump rask rump swabs that exist on the ninth floor basically express a vote of confidence in him the next 2 days. They've inflated this guy to be extremely, extremely talented. Basically, Ken Dryden meets 80 Jim Craig. And when you ask him to give them an opinion of what's going to happen in the next two games, they waddle and turtle like David Pastrnak through the neutral zone. The Bruins' best goaltender in this situation, one that's won a series with a less talented team, is absolutely on the bench. He's the guy that beat Alex Ovechkin and Evgeny.
So hold on, Jake. You want to bench Rask for Halak right now?
No, I'm saying they're going to regret not giving both of them their reps during this run because they had a perfectly capable goaltender, especially statistically in comparison to Rask. They both played the same amount of games, basically. They were going to regret riding Tuukka Rask because we've seen the history and the results over the last 10 years with this guy. And no one on the ninth floor wants to admit it.
Okay, I don't want to admit it. Like, Rask has done nothing to...
And Halak's run was 9 years ago.
It's silly. That's silliness. Rask is a big reason why you're here. Now, however, you're without your franchise captain defenseman, and you have three games left, two to win the Stanley Cup. When Rask got in this spot 6 years ago, it's when the needle went in the other direction. It's when it started. It was really game four in Boston that you lost 6-5 in overtime, I think. You had a chance to go up 3-1 in that game, and I think it started there, and he did not finish strong in that series. So Rask has been here before in this exact spot. He's changed the narrative to this point. At this point with Tim Thomas, so we all know what happened. So here we go. Can Rask shut him out? Can Rask single-handedly win you a game as you're trying to get your defense in order?
Well, that's what they're going to need now, I think.
Do you think?
Or something close to it. Something close to it. Again, let's say that Chara is out. Okay, let's say that Chara is out. And I don't know what Grizzly's going to be able to give you. So let's just go in with the uncertainty of D and the beating they've been taking in this series. But one of the things they still have is the goalie. I mean, and that is one of the strengths that they have that shouldn't change. I mean, unless he gets hurt or whatever, but shouldn't change. And there's no matchup thing there. There's no head-to-head thing there. It's not like they put Sundqvist on him. There's none of that. That should be a constant. If the Bruins are going to pull this out, he has to be a big part of it. That's how I would say it. Like, I look at it and say, if they're going to pull this thing out, he's got to be a big part of it. And so there's a chance there, not only for him to reverse it, but and then some. Like, given some of the injuries and issues they have, there's a huge opportunity there for him to be a hero. Huge.
So starting at this point in 2000, I mean, look, because we've done this the whole way along with Rask and Thomas. Rask has performed ahead of Tim Thomas. If you compare this year to 2011, Rask is pacing right with Tim Thomas. He's just ahead of Tim Thomas. I hear this all the time from the Rask people. Tim Thomas in game five pitched a shutout. Oh, I'm sorry. They lost 1-0. They lost 1-0 in game five. So he gave up one goal in game five.
Mm-hmm.
Then they came home, won 5-2 in game six. So he gave up two goals in game six and then pitched a shutout in game seven.
4-0, right?
So in the last three games of that series, he allowed 3 goals. He allowed 1 goal a night in the last three games. Held him to 1 goal in game five, 2 goals in game six, and pitched a shutout in game seven. So let's see it, Rask. Here we go. Now it gets real. Now it gets real for you.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think if they're going to pull this out, he's got to be a big part of it.
Back to your thoughts after Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
878.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Grizz gated today, red jersey. He's still in protocol. When he gets cleared, he'll be ready to go, whether that's by tomorrow or not. I can tell you today, Z, facial injury. No update on him. Give you a prognosis on him tomorrow. That's probably the best I can give you right now. Obviously, Z's not here, didn't skate, so it makes it a little more difficult for him. I've always said that. The guys that are skating are obviously a little closer.
Chris Cassidy today with your update on Greslick and Chara. He was asked later in the press conference, so I'll play it for you in a bit, about Juuso Vaakkanainen coming into the lineup. And he deemed that a long shot and said basically, well, that was just, you know, that was yesterday when we were going through all the permutations and playing it all out, that if we were without Chara and Grizzlick, we might have to do this or might have to do that. So we were talking about that. But seeing Grizzlick out there today gives us confidence that we may not have to go that route and that Juuso Vaakkanainen is a long shot. So I put those two things together and I say Grizzlick's playing tomorrow night. Chara's out. He's not going to be replaced by Steve Kampfer and Juuso Vaakkanainen, and he's going to be replaced by Matt Grizzlick.
Yeah, I mean, for Cassidy to change his tone like that, it does make it sound like it is going to be Grizzlick tomorrow night. Or, unless maybe he saw some of the practice today with Vaakkanainen, and he said, oh, this is going to be too big of a moment for this kid.
I mean, it feels like it's trending that way, right? It feels to me like they had him on the ice today because they're expecting him to be cleared tomorrow.
Well, the concussion protocol is you first pass your baseline testing, then you do some off-ice exercise, and if that's okay, you get on the ice for a practice, non-contact, then you're cleared for a game.
Correct.
So unless Grizzlick came off the ice today and said, I'm still dizzy or woozy or not feeling well, if he didn't say that, if he says he felt good, and he's in.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, look, you know, and I'm not accusing the Bruins of anything. I just know the reality of pro sports, especially in the championship. I think they'd lie about it, too.
Of course. How do you feel? Great.
Right.
I said automatic.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, he's like, you know, staggering down the hall and pukes in a wastebasket. But nonetheless, to me, it feels like they're trending that way. If you were asking me right now what I would wager on, I'd wager on him playing. If I were them, I'd still have a seventh defenseman because I would look at it and go, you know what? These guys are beating the crap out of us. We're going to lose guys. And who knows with Grizzlick, he takes another shot and it could come right back, right? So I'd have a plan there. And honestly, I think it helps them at forward because they get backers off the ice.
And you get some different looks from Krejci. So I'm all for that. Also, this is courtesy of Ty Anderson. In two of these games, they're losses. They've been down to 5D. Obviously, Grizzlick went out in game two and Chara went out in game four. After those guys went down, and for the rest of those games, you combine the two games, according to Ty Anderson, NBC Sports Boston, excuse me, 985thesportshub.com. I always do that to that kid. 985thesportshub.com. He's on the morning show this week and on the Felger and Maz off-air show as well. When the Bruins have been down a D-man, when they've been playing with 5D in these Stanley Cup playoffs, they were outscored 3-1 and outshot 52-25, wow, over 2-1. When they were fully healthy, when they had six fully healthy defensemen, they outscored St. Louis 14-8 and outshot them 83-72. So it's no question those times when they were down 5D, it absolutely caught up to them. So that's another reason to have 7D, because in case another one goes out or Grizzly, you know, reverts, you've still got all three pairs. So I would absolutely go 7D.
Yeah, and in both games that they lost the guy, it happened early too, relatively, right? I mean, you're talking, you had to play two-thirds of the game, for crying out loud, with five defensemen. So that was going to catch up to you. I would carry an extra D with them. I like that idea.
And Backus being off the ice? Is that addition by subtraction?
Yes, and again, and then again, you change the whole dynamic on that second line. You give Krejci, Johansson some shifts. You give him Pasternak other shifts. Those guys are on the ice more. You get more scoring opportunities. Like, you make the Blues work a little bit more, too. I like that idea.
Okay, closing the loop on the thing that I did before, the DN Van Lines moves around the league. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, which is DN Van Lines, dnvanlines.com. I mentioned the Felger Maz off-air show presented by Ace Ticket. It returns tonight. The triumphant return of the Felger and Maz off-air show presented by Ace Ticket, myself and the Dark Knight, Adam Jones. Jones is going to join me starting at 6 o'clock sharp. It's on Facebook Live and Twitch. But Facebook Live, right at 6 o'clock, me and Jones, we discuss the Kyrie Irving stuff, the Ainge stuff from today, his Bruins thoughts. We'll do some internet grab ass, because that's what we're supposed to do on the internet, is grab ass.
Yep, the people want more.
About pop culture or ourselves. We'll talk about ourselves. I guess that's what you do on the internet, too. You talk about ourselves. Or my trip to St. Louis. Like, that's just what you do on the internet. You just talk about yourself and what I thought of St. Louis. And then we'll talk to the Dark Knight as well. So Ace Ticket, the Felger and Maz off-air show, Facebook Live tonight at 6 o'clock sharp. Join us for that. The long commercial-free segment with you is right after these words, so go nowhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The shot by Shin, blocked in front by Chara. He's hurt.
Oh, it went off his own stick, and it came up, and it got him right in the face, and he is bleeding.
Is he ever, as he threw his gloves down, and the training staff is out to attend to 42-year-old Zdeno Chara. Looks like he got it right in the mouth.
Well, you see the way he skated off, too. His head was down. Visually, nothing wrong with his eyes or his nose. You just see blood dripping from his mouth. It could have just been a cut lip, possibly a tooth or two. I don't see any white teeth, but, man, there's a stream of red blood. Certainly, right now, as the cleanup crew is going to work, scraping up that bloody ice and trying to get that shoveled off so we can continue playing.
By the way, thanks to our 2019 playoff presenting partners, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, BMO Harris Bank, Centene, and Purina, along with all of their employees for their outstanding support during these playoffs and throughout the season. So they scrape up the blood from the blue zone.
Always have to pay the bills. That's right, Billy. Always have to pay the bills. Zdeno Chara. Can you win a Stanley Cup without Zdeno Chara? Can you win a Stanley Cup without Chara? You're about to find out. Billy and Stoughton, your thoughts.
Is it me?
It's you, Billy.
Oh, Felger and Maz, yeah. They can win the Stanley Cup without Chara, but I don't want them to. And the other thing is the Blues had to play the game of their life the other night to survive, and they did that. What I'm worried about now, it's down to a three-game series, and the team has to win two out of three. And, you know, Rask has to play the game of his life, too, and he can't play like he's been playing, where he lets up a soft goal right from the beginning. If they really want it,
they can do it because they got home ice advantage. What do you guys?
Okay, so you give me like eight things I disagree with most of them. Home ice doesn't matter. I agree with you that if Rask wants to have his defining moment, he probably can't allow that wraparound goal.
And be boy, now's a good time to do it if you're Rask.
And not that that was a soft goal. It wasn't, you know, but I think...
At this level, it shouldn't happen.
Ideally, you're not allowing wraparound goals. Period, story over. In any circumstance, they just don't happen. And if he wants to have his Tim Thomas moment, again, the last three games in 2011, Tim Thomas allowed 1, 2, and 0 goals in order. And the 5-2, I mean, I'll look it up. You blew him out 5-2 in game 6 back here at home. So I'm not even sure where that second goal came, if it was a garbage time goal or what. But basically, Thomas was lights out from game 5 on. And here you go. Here's Rask's time. And if he wants to have one of those nights where you win 2-1, not lose 3-2, you win 2-1, or you win 2-0 with an empty netter, now would be a really good time for it.
Oh, look, it would go down as like an all-timer. We'd look at it and go, well, he was having a great postseason, and then all of a sudden they started getting their brains beat in. They lost Chara. They lost Grizzly. Kevin Miller was already out, and Rask stood on his head the last 2 or 3 games, and they won the whole thing. I mean, that's how it'll go down.
That's kind of what Tim Thomas did. Again, the 5-2 game, they were up 4-0. This was a game where I think Bobby Lou got pulled there.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Because he was complaining about, you've been pumping his tires and not mine. If I allowed that out of the blue paint, you know, what would you be saying about me? And then they came to Boston and got yanked in the first period. The Bruins were up 4-0 in that game. And then the Canucks' second goal, was with 2.5 minutes left in a 5-1 game. So garbage time goal. Tim Thomas was lights out from this point forward in that series.
Yeah, the only variable is that, I don't remember all the details, but I think he had a healthy decor in front of him. Right? I mean, he still had Chara, still had Seidenberg.
Sure.
So Rask is even set up to be, in some ways, a bigger hero.
Yes, like, I would say so. Yes.
There's an unbelievable opportunity there. Like, you know, it is the one thing you can say that they still have definitively over the Blues. They got better goaltending.
But don't you get the sense on Chara again that they think he's coming back?
I think he's going to try.
Or that, you know, that's definitely, you know, in the cards. Because if it was...
It sounds like if not Thursday, then Sunday.
The kind of jaw fracture that you just don't come back from. Like, there's different kinds, and we've heard different things about it. But if it was the real bad one, they'd know now it's been 48 hours.
There'd be no doubt, right.
There'd be no doubt he's out. He broke his leg. He can't play. It'd be one of those things. It's not one of those things.
Unless you're just dinking around with the Blues.
Well, that's a possibility, I guess.
Right. I mean, I don't rule that out in the finals. I don't. But, you know, in theory, yes, we should know. I mean, if he had a displaced jaw fracture, they had to wire his jaw shut, I think he's done.
Okay, Jimmy in New Hampshire on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Jimmy.
Yeah, hey, Felger, just real quick on Chara. I think the question would be not can we win a cup without Chara. It would be more can we win it for Chara, because the guy has just been such a warrior. He's 40. He's been banged up and playing through it, and everybody knows how valuable. It's just like, you know, guys, let's win. Now's the time. So about Kyrie, if we're going to talk about him, like, he's a guy who wants to be the number one. Like, you can tell he's full of himself. Don't you think it's important to talk about money? Like, the fact that he's on the Celtics now, I think that means we can sign him to, like, an extra year and have it be worth, like, an extra $50 million
That's right.
Over the course of the contract. So
that's right.
Don't you think that's important? Like, and that Danny Ainge would want to be able to get some value for Kyrie. So if he's going to go to Brooklyn, because he's not going to the Knicks, nobody wants to play for Dolan. So he's going to go home. He's going to go to play for Brooklyn. Don't you think Trader Danny's going to get some sort of an asset to say, well, you know, Kyrie, hey, he can get the extra $50 million. So that's what Kyrie's doing right now.
Okay, so let me stop. Because I don't know with those Supermax deals you can do sign and trades. So I don't even care to go there. It's too complicated. And please, just do that on your own time and tell me. Well, we do have B-Rob. B-Rob, are you there? Can you answer this question? If Kyrie wants to get his full Supermax, that extra, the extra year in money that he gets by signing with Boston versus Brooklyn, can you do a sign and trade? Can Boston sign him to that deal and then sign him to Brooklyn, send him to Brooklyn, and you get something back for it?
You can't give him the extra year in a sign and trade. So, but you can, obviously, I think that is the number one thing Danny Ainge will try to do if he's leaving. The first thing he has to do is figure out if he can get the sign and trade, because they're going to need that trade exception to try to trade for someone else to fill his slot, obviously.
So you've already confused me. I'm already annoyed. Trade exception? What?
So pretty much in a sign and trade, the Celtics could conceivably trade Kyrie. Say he wants to go to Brooklyn. then you can go to Brooklyn and say, hey, Brooklyn, can we work out a sign and trade here? So we send you Kyrie. You don't have to send any of the anything back to us. So we essentially, that creates a trade exception, which means for the next year, the Celtics could, you know, get a player for whatever Kyrie's making.
Why would Brooklyn ever do that to you? Why would
you give him a draft pick?
Okay, so you have to send a draft pick.
You sweeten it up. The only time this really happens now, like happened when LeBron went to Miami, those were all sign and trades. Bosch, Wade, they gave multiple first round picks so they could pay them all more. These days, if it's a division rival, Brooklyn might just say, go screw it. We don't want to do it.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
But Kyrie can't get any more money out of it.
No. Kyrie has to just, you know, want to help out the new team he's going to or help you out.
Brooklyn wants to help you out. Or there's something in it for him. The draft pick's worth sending you the trade exception.
Exactly.
Boy, the NBA. This whole conversation annoyed the crap out of me.
It's the worst.
God, it's not your fault.
It is the worst.
No, it is your fault, B-Rob. This stupid league with all those exceptions. I mean, it just kills sports talk.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, as he was talking, I like the possibilities. You say to Brooklyn, we'll give you a...
So you get one of these trade exceptions. I don't even want to ask what that means because now I'm going to get another popsicle headache.
He just said they could bring in someone for what Kyrie's making. And that's a big salaried player.
So you could trade for someone at a max slot or a $20 million slot and go over the cap by $20 million?
Something like that, yeah. It's you don't get the full amount.
Something like that.
You can get a $20 million player. That's the most you get if you do a sign and trade with Kyrie.
I like the idea.
So wait a minute. You get a trade exception at the level he was being paid here. Something like that.
Correct.
$20 million.
Ish.
About half now. Wait a minute. Now it's half?
No, it's $20 million. I don't want to go into more rules, but it's $20. You'd get a $20 million trade exception.
Might be worth it. Might be worth it.
Okay.
And then think about it. Sit down,
please. I can't do this.
No, but hold on. It might make sense for Brooklyn, too, because if you sweeten it for them, then they might be able to use those pieces to get Anthony Davis.
Yeah, okay.
Keep just trying to figure it out with table scraps. No, they're screwed. Kyrie Irving's leaving.
Period, end of story. What I want you to do is do this on your own time and then deliver it to me in a neat little package with a couple bullet points, and then I can deliver it to the people. Otherwise, I can't do that.
Well, don't forget about the Rose Rule, too. All these stupid little permutations. I hate it.
Kiss my ass. Trade exception. The thing today with Kyrie, Danny Ainge, this is what we're talking about. That Danny Ainge sounded like a defeated man, like a groom who's standing there with his schwants in his hand at the altar, who knows the wedding's not happening in 3.5 weeks, and this poor guy. That's the Kyrie story. While Kyrie's gallivanting around New York and New Jersey, filming Instagram videos with his former crosswalk guard at school.
I figured it out. You know what this is, too? You remember when LeBron went back to Cleveland? I'm coming home. I'm coming home. This is Kyrie's version, except it's just on social media.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. Murray's right. This is further evidence of him wanting to be LeBron.
He's mini LeBron.
Yes. He wants to be LeBron. He wants to go back and bring a title home. That's what he's doing.
He's become what he said he hated.
Oh, my God. What a loser.
Coming home down 95. Coming home to New Jersey.
Oh, my God. Ugh. That's exactly what he's doing. Did you think that up on your own?
No, someone actually helped me with that.
I figured.
Credit to someone who tweeted me that, but I was like, oh, man, you're right. Like, that's 100% right. That's what he's doing.
I should have known you didn't come up with that on your own.
Hour to go. Kyrie and the Bruins, do your thoughts after Murray's 90-second update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.